family has told me, Helen and Paul and, of course, Don, when they were kids growing up out at the Ebenezer Church in the country, the children's choir sang this hymn, "Nearer, My God, to Thee." So let's stand and we'll sing this together, please. Bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful morning that you've given us to gather here to celebrate the life of Donnie Clute on this earth. We rejoice in your goodness to him over all of his years. We thank you for the promises of your word, Lord God, that are so many that come to us. Your word that tells us our salvation is in Christ alone. Your word that tells us that we don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope. And we know that Don's hope was truly and completely in you, Lord Jesus. And that as he drew that last breath 2 weeks ago, that your angels were there to receive him into heaven. And we rejoice in thinking about that and all that he's experiencing there before your throne. Lord, thank you for ministering to us today, gathered here by the Spirit of the living God, bringing your comfort to each one. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, please. And I'd like to welcome all of you here today. Thank you for coming. Certainly, we are here to celebrate Don's life, 75 and a half years. I know it means a lot to the family to have other friends here with them today. We know, as I'll read the obituary in just a minute, but as it says, and I think is not a surprise to any of us, that one of Don's passions was sports. And I have to say, I was always impressed how involved Don was right here in Menno, South Dakota, in the local high school sporting activities. And then the Menno Mad Frogs, there was more than once over the years that I would be sitting with him at one of the basketball games and just visiting with him about the game and many other things. But I want to read a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, because the Apostle Paul many times made comparisons to our lives spiritually and athletics. He says this, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run their very best to win, but only one receives the prize? Run your race in such a way that you may seize the prize and make it yours. Now every athlete who goes into training and competes in the games is disciplined and exercises self-control in all things. They do it to win a crown that withers." Of course, at that time it was a wreath that they had. "We do it to receive an imperishable crown that cannot wither." And so we run this race called life, one day at a time, giving it our best to live for the Lord, to serve Him faithfully, because we certainly don't know when our last breath will be. Not one of us here knows that. I'd like to read the obituary at this time. After the obituary, there's a couple family members that are going to share some thoughts and memories of Donnie, and if there's any others, I'll give you a warning right now, that would like to share something, you would be welcome to do that at that time. But I'll read the obituary first. Don Clute was born on July 13th, 1947, to Roy and Arlene Hain Clute. They raised him on the family farm located 10 miles southeast of Menno. He grew up helping with livestock chores and operating farm equipment in the fields. After graduating from Menno High School, he began attending college at Springfield State College. The Army drafted him to serve as a rifleman to fight in the Vietnam War for 2 years, 1967 to 69. He was awarded an Army Commendation Medal for the meritorious service in connection with military operations against a hostile force. In 1968, as a specialist, PFC E4 in the 21st Infantry. Upon returning home, he continued farming with his father until he died in 1972, and onward with his mother until they sold the farm equipment in 1978. Conjunctively, he continued his college education by attending Dakota State College in Madison, South Dakota, part-time to earn a bachelor's degree in business in December of 1978. Don was baptized at the Ebenezer Reformed Church in the country, just southeast of Menno here, on August 24th of 1947, and was confirmed here in town at the Salem Reformed Church on June 25th, 1961. Both of those, I believe, by Reverend Kempshin. He continued his faith by becoming a member of that church and the Plymouth United Church of Christ in Denver. Having retired from farming, he began driving a delivery van for a commercial package delivery company, first in Sioux Falls for 1 year, and then about 3 years in Rapid City and the northwest South Dakota area. In 1985, he moved to Colorado to be near his four siblings, who also had all moved to Colorado by then. Following short employment with a local college, he began working for the Colorado Department of Labor and Employment as a computer specialist for 26 years, until retiring in 2012. His passions were farming, sports, and South Dakota. He kept family farmland and bought additional acres to be rented to raise crops. Several times a year, he enjoyed traveling to share the management of the land, actively helping with land maintenance and the business of being a landlord. No one living in Menno loved South Dakota and the Menno area more than Donnie. Beginning with playing baseball in Menno and Rapid City clubs, he became an avid sports fan of football and baseball in the South Dakota and Colorado high school, college, and pro sports. Aside from attending games, he spent hours studying sports statistics in detail. Most remember him as being kind, friendly, and very sociable, and maybe a bit silly at times. For instance, he helped several guys in his neighborhood who needed a place to live temporarily. He was preceded in death by his parents, by his sister Patricia Clute Gilbert, and his sister Susie Geraldine Clute. His memory is cherished by his sister Helen Kirschman Howell and her husband Dean, by his brother Paul and his wife Judy Clute, and several nephews and nieces. May God bless his memory in all of our hearts and minds. So I'll come down here with the microphone, and if Paul and Judy, do you want to start out with some thoughts here? Or whoever? Okay, looks like it's you, Paul. Hold it close to your mouth, okay? Please.
I won't take a long time to tell a long story, but I'll tell you a little bit about Donnie, I guess, in a funny story, and a bit about how I would miss him now more. Nobody would let me tell a story unless I told the one, I guess it's more a funny story about me than him. You know, he was always an easygoing guy, even when he was 6 years old. One time on the farm, I think Sharon Seiler might have been there, and a couple other cousins, I know they were visiting the farm. So we were out in the yard, and I got the idea that maybe it would be all right for Donnie to parachute from the top of the barn down to the ground. So I got together a sheet, and I tied a rope to each corner of the sheet. And we got up there, and I said, well, that's a long way. Maybe I should test it with a rock first. So I went up and tested the rock. Of course, the parachute went clunk, just like that. Well, guess we aren't doing that. So he was an easygoing guy. Everybody remembers him. I guess in the way that I miss him, and we were talking about all that sports, when he was in Colorado, I attended a lot of games, high school and college games with him, and we talked sports forever. And then in that way, I really miss him. And he was, a kind guy. You know, we had a lot of funny stories, and I might tell one more, I guess. Yes. One more about, this is the one that Marlon knows about it. This happened about 3 years ago. He had CRP land, and in the CRP land, the trees grow. So he would go out there, he would borrow a pickup and Dale's pickup and go out there and cut these trees out. So one time must have been toward the evening, he was out there by himself. Nobody knew about it, and he was driving through the low ground, and he got that pickup stuck, and he backed up, and Martin backed up, and pretty soon he burned out the transmission. So, and that was about, must have been about 7 or 8 o'clock at night already. It was summertime, but getting dusk, you know. So it must have been almost dark, maybe even later. So he decided he's just going to walk. He didn't have his cell phone, by the way, too. He always was missing his cell phone, even though he had no way to call. So he decided he's going to walk back. And it was, you know, it's about a mile and a half at least. So it took him a long time walking with his muddy boots on and everything. And muddy, it's full of mud. He was trying to dig it out and everything. So he gets back to the Marla's house, you know, and he just was about 10 o'clock or so, and I guess it was dark or whatever. So he didn't want to disturb there and wake them up. So he just said, what am I going to do now? So he decided he's just going to get in Marlon's car and drive into Minna, where he's staying with Dale. So he gets in the car and drives in there. He doesn't leave any note. And Marlon gets up before Donnie. Donnie kind of slept in a little bit because Donnie had the idea that he's going to call and let Marlon know that he took his car. Well, Marlon gets up earlier, and they look around for the car and check around a little bit, can't find the car, finally call the sheriff. And the sheriff comes out. I guess the sheriff was out there, and Donnie then called later and said he had taken the car. So that was all, no harm, but a funny story. We had many, many funny stories, Bud. I don't know if Judy can think of any or want to say anything.
I will say something. I don't know about these microphones. They really make me nervous. But I guess I just want to start off and say I consider Donnie as my Colorado brother, because my brothers were out of state, and it was just Donnie. And he was just easygoing. And Donnie and I, when we traveled together with Paul and the family and stuff, he always had funny things to say. And we would always have to keep an eye on him, because if he would not be with us, he would wander off, and we'd always have to go look for him. Even if we stopped for gas, he'd be roaming around buying snacks and stuff and talking to everybody. He got to know everybody everywhere all the time. But one other thing I remember is that it's pretty new, but when Bruce Herbolt died and Donnie was going to go from Denver to the funeral, and Paul had stuff to do, so he stayed. And I said, Donnie, I'm calling him all day trying to get a hold of him. Finally, I get a hold of him. I said, can I hitch a ride with you? And he said, well, yeah, I'm leaving in a few minutes. And I said, well, I'm having my hair done. I'll be done at such and such time, and then you can pick me up. So he did, and we went up together to the funeral in Rapid City for Bruce Herbolt, and we had such a fun time. We would stop whenever we wanted and get snacks and visit with people, of course, along the way, and then got up to Rapid City and just had a great time up there with the Herbolt family, and one thing and another. And then we came back and stopped at the gambling town in Deadwood and watched some basketball or some games that were on. And he said, do you think we should be getting going? And I said, let's watch this game. And so we just stayed there and watched the game and just relaxed and had a beer. And it was just so much fun. And away we went, and we made it back all safe and sound.
Not like traveling.
I know. Well, we get safe and sound with you, but we're on a schedule when Paul is with us, and he keeps us. It's been 15 minutes now, and we stopped this gas station. Let's get on the road. So that's it. Now, anybody else want to say anything? Yeah. Corbin and Mary?
You're going to...
No, bring them up
okay,
here.
All right.
I can come back with the microphones in just a minute.
Yeah.
They can go.
You will edit to tell everybody that you and I and Helen drove Don up to the top of that bar.
Oh, you were there too, huh? Troublemakers. I don't know if we're supposed to sit. Are we supposed to sit down?
So you're saying he had help?
Yeah, you can.
Well, everyone, I'm his nephew. He's my uncle for a lot of years.
Your name?
Oh, Corbin. Corbin Clute, for the record.
Right.
No, Donnie, I guess he was such a good person. He always saw the good in everyone. And we always point out the bad. It's like stranger danger kind of thing. He just never saw that. But he was always a character. We never ran out of stories with Donnie. He always had something funky going on. If he was alone, it was amplified. I remember one trip he decided he was going to go hunting alone. And he got lost in the middle of the night. And what, he didn't get back to his car until 3, 4:30 a.m.? Walked 7 miles in the dark in the woods alone. You know, I don't think he accomplished anything besides getting lost that time.
Well, he couldn't find his car keys either.
Oh, jeez.
The other thing. When he did get back.
Oh, hide and go seek with himself. I forgot about that. No, another story was we'd always go on family camping trips. And everybody kind of bet on when he was going to show up because he was always late to everything. Even if he committed to it. Right, yeah, he was always setting his tent up in the dark. Mm-hmm. So he showed up with his old Buick Skyhawk, which he was, you swear that thing was a Corvette to him. But, yeah, he showed up, and it was about 11:30 p.m., and my wife and I were still up, just visiting, and we thought we'd open the tailgate and just let Donnie entertain us. While he'd set up his tent, and we watched him dig through his car for probably half an hour.
He had forgot the poles.
Yeah, got his tent, but no poles. So we thought, well, we'll go help him out in about 15, 20 minutes. We'll have one more beer and watch the campfire a little. And so we finally went over there, and we actually had an extra tent that we didn't tell him about. So after watching him struggle and amuse us, we went over there and offered our tent to him. But yeah, he.
And he came with the poles and no tent.
Yeah.
Well, then, yeah, another trip he came with the poles and no tent.
Poles and no tent.
We always ask him, Donnie, you live alone. Who's in charge of you?
He didn't know.
No, he never had an answer for that. He's like, I just don't know. But anyways, we could go on and on about stories like that. But we were trying to think of something to share with you guys. We've, you know, his last, how long did he live? 84? He moved out to Denver. And we spent a lot of years together and a lot of trips back here in the summer. But he was always a really fun uncle. He never saw him judge anybody.
No, he didn't.
No, he's a great man.
Are you telling the pickle story?
Hmm?
Are you telling the pickle story?
Oh, geez. I'll tell the pickle story.
Okay.
So what event was that? Was that Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
We had Thanksgiving over at our house. And I had been up since about 6 a.m. throwing meat in the smoker and running back and forth and inside the house. And I came in, and everybody had opened up my big jug of, I was infusing vodka with pickle juice. And so it needed about another month or two.
We had the big, big pickles in there, so it looked like we were making pickles.
Looked like we were pickling pickles.
Yeah.
So I come in and my lid's off and everybody's eating my pickles. I said, man, that's not
a
snack.
They had been awful because they were soaking in vodka.
Horrible.
So I was like, oh, you don't want to eat those. Well, Donnie was like 5 bites in and just didn't have the heart to ask, what is wrong with these pickles? And everybody else was trying them and they're like, oh, God, these are the most awful pickles we've ever had. And there's Donnie like, they're not bad.
Oh, yeah. he did
so
say,
bad.
Boy, I'm glad you said that because I didn't have the heart to tell you your pickles suck.
So you did not have to finish that.
Yeah, you had to watch him close. He'd get into trouble pretty quick. Well, that was another. Like we said, we've got endless amounts of stories, but no, he was always a joy to have around, and never got sick of him. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. He brought
he
a lot.
Us, for
he
sure.
did. He did. Yeah, and he'd give the shirt off his back to anybody, just a stranger. So.
Anybody else?
Yeah, come on up. Yeah, he drove that Buick Skyhawk forever. You know, somebody finally talked him into getting a new car. And he ended up with a new Caddy.
So I have a little follow-up story on the, oh, I'm Debbie Kirschman. I'm Helen Howell's daughter. So we're out here for my Uncle Willard's funeral. But was that last summer? Two summers ago. And, you know, my brother was with us, and Mom and my brother wanted to go out and see Mom's CRP land out by Marlins. And so we got Donnie, and we knew it was muddy because it had been raining. So Donnie borrowed Daryl's truck again. And all we wanted to do was drive back on the road, but no, Donnie, we get back to the property, and Donnie's like, turns right into the field. And it's muddy. And then he's telling us, oh, the down over there, that's where I got stuck, and he heads right towards it. And I'm thinking, you know, and my brother and I are like, Donnie, don't drive down there. We don't need to go down in there, you know. And it took, like, you know, until we almost got there, and he could barely turn before he went down to where the lowland is there. And I'm thinking in the back of the head my whole way, I have my 80-year-old mother in this truck. It is 100 degrees out. We do not need to get stuck in this field and try and figure out how we're going to get my mom out of this field. But and then he's like, oh, there's a ditch over here, and he starts heading for it. We're like, hey, Donnie, can we just, you know, like, go back to the trail and go back out? We've seen the land. We're good. But that's just the way he was. Nothing ever set him. You know, I'm almost 60 years old, so I've known him a long time. I never once saw my uncle mad, ever. He never yelled at anybody. He just kind of took life as it came. And we're going to miss him a lot.
Definitely learned a lot from him.
Yeah.
Sure. Anybody else?
Carl?
I'll just stay here.
Yep. My name is Carl Zabe. My mother was a Clute and was Roy's brother. So Donnie and me were first cousins. But I remember, I don't know if you remember Donnie back in the 60s, he got a nickname, Clutch. And I think, I don't know how he got the story for sure, but he had a big old Chrysler when he was in the 60s. And back at the beer garden in the alley back there was a big Highline post right in the middle of the alley. Well, he had to back out, and he said his foot slipped off the clutch. And right down the middle of that trunk, it just made a beautiful V. You know, you can still drive it, but it just, you know, so he got the nickname Clutch from that one. So.
Thank you, Carl. Okay, thank you. Thank you for the memories. It's always fun to hear the stories of a person's life and the joys and the good times that we laugh about, that's for sure. At this point, we're going to sing On Eagle's Wings. Hopefully, we didn't get these out right away. Hopefully, you all got one. There might be some in back if you didn't. For the words, or of course, they'll be on the screen. On Eagle's Wings. Make you to shine like the sun. hand. You need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Though thousands fall about you, near you it shall not come, and he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. Let's bow our heads once more, please. Father, we thank you for the words of that hymn, many of them coming straight from your word out of Psalm 91, that you cause us to mount up with wings like eagles, that we can run and not be weary and walk and not faint as we wait upon you. As you watch over us, Lord, through all the years and days and years of our lives, through the silly things we do, through the foolish things that we do, you are faithful. And we thank you for your word as you speak to us from it and comfort us and encourage us by the promises found there. In Jesus' name, amen. John 3:14-16, I will read first of all. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For in verse 16, we know it well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. From James chapter 4, verses 13-17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, we boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. That's God's word. I want to look into those verses a little bit this morning as we think about Donnie's life as well. The passage in James, first of all, he's saying, look, now listen, he starts out. Another translation, he says, look here. In other words, James, by the Spirit of God, is saying, I want you to get this, what I'm going to say, and I want you to understand it. He wanted their attention as they were first reading that letter. He wants our attention now. So again, he says, listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. As we think about these verses and the point he's trying to get us to understand, we need to know who is ultimately in control of our lives. It can change in a moment, as we've seen with Don's passing. It was just the Thursday evening, I believe, that Paul and Judy, and some, it was someone's birthday, one of the nieces, her great nieces, anyway, birthday, and they were out for supper that evening, having a great time, and by Saturday, he was gone in heaven. Just that fast. We think we have life all figured out, and we do have to make plans. But in these verses, we see first, you know, as this person or these people, us, as far as that goes, are being addressed. This guy was choosing his own time, saying today or tomorrow. He was choosing his own location. We're going to go to this city or that city. He was choosing his own timetable. We're going to spend a year there, and he was choosing how his occupation was going to go. We're going to carry on business. We're going to make money. So in and of itself, those kind of planning plans, they're not wrong. They're not ethically wrong or morally wrong. God expects us to make plans. We have to in life, in business, no matter what we are, farmer, businessman, banker, whatever the job might be, it would be foolish not to make plans. So what is wrong then with those statements that's being addressed here in the book of James? Well, the issue really is not so much in what is being said, but really what is not being said in those verses, that passage right there. As we see it, the thing that's wrong is there's no mention of God, there's no thought of God in that individual's life and the plans that he's making. Laying out all the plans as if this person were invincible, and sometimes we can think that way, especially the younger we are. We think we can tend to think we are invincible, as if we can see into the future, which we can't, with no thought at all of what God's plan is and what might come to pass. He says in the next verse, and I'm not saying that Don lived this way, but I'm bringing this passage out because of how quickly his life changed. As I saw different ones coming in and coming by the casket, I heard different comments. Boy, I never saw this one coming. And how do we know? We don't. Verse 14, he said, why, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. We think we do, but we don't. And when our time is up, it's up. So we have to learn as we live this life to include God in our decisions, in our prayers, certainly, and let him be Lord of all, and let him guide us and lead us. And I had the joy of sitting with Don, as I said, many times at sporting events here in Menno, talking to him at church here many times. And I believe that Don tried to do his best in that, silly as he was, but laid back, which is a wonderful characteristic. But the family has told me, even to his church in Denver, he was pretty faithful out there to that. And I would have to say most times when he was here in Menno and I'd see him around, usually I could count, he'd be right about where Randy Whale is sitting in that spot right there is where he'd sit on a Sunday morning. You do not know what will happen tomorrow because your life, another translation, is like the morning fog. Well, we've had plenty of that here this winter. We know it's here a little while, and then it's gone. Even a life of 75 and a half years that God gave to Don is just a moment compared to eternity. So I once saw this illustration, and I'm going to use it. I thought of this as I read Don's obituary about his degree in business and then him working there with the Department of Labor at Colorado for 26 years, a computer specialist. Well, you got to have some kind of mathematical skills to be doing that. So I have 10 pennies. One of them fell already, but these are numbered. I know you're probably not supposed to draw on the coinage, but I did. Numbered them 1 through 10. There's a point I want to make. So if these were all in my pocket, I'm just going to hold them in the palm of my hand. As we think about our lives and as we try to order our lives day by day, especially without God's help, I would have a 1 in 10 chance to pull out the penny of my hand without looking that is marked number 1, right? That's pretty good statistics. Well, I drew out number 10. And I'd put it back in and I'd keep trying. If then I keep putting them back in, if I would try to draw out number 1, let's say I did that, and to try to draw out number 2 penny next, the chances go to 1 in 100 of that. And then if I would try 1, 2, 3 in order, it's 1 in 1,000. If I would think I could do 1 through 10 in order, the chances of that would be 1 in 10 billion. My point is, if we can't even draw 10 pennies out of our pocket marked in order, then how do we ever think we can order and conduct our lives on this earth without God's help? And that's what James is trying to get us to see. Don't say today or tomorrow we're going to do this or that and just think we got it all figured out. He says, instead, what you ought to say is, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and we'll do this and we'll do that. And we certainly have all learned that many times over the years. If the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you'll be boasting about your plans, and all such boasting is evil. Now, Don, as it was said in the obituary, aside from attending games and his love for sports, he spent many hours studying sports statistics in detail. And I guess the times that I would sit with him at our basketball games, for example, I was totally impressed. He knew every one of those kids, who was playing, how good they were, a lot of times averages of their points here at Menno High School. And I just looked at him and said, how do you know all that? I mean, I live here and go to all the games that I can, and I don't even know all that. He was very involved in Menno life. And it was a joy just being able to sit by him and observe that about his life. I was very impressed. But back, you know, to this passage, if we don't let Christ be Lord of all and ask him to direct our steps, and even as we ask him, we still mess up many times in our decisions. But as we submit to him and ask him to be Lord of all, we avoid the danger of those last two verses, 16 and 17, in James's passage. I will read again. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. And I, again, as I read the obituary earlier this week, and absolutely, the statement that says, most remember Don as being kind, friendly, and very sociable. Maybe a bit silly at times. Well, I guess I didn't quite get to see the silly side, but I enjoyed the stories. I would have to probably add in there, and humble. A humble man, as I knew him. I had asked the family this week about this phrase in the obituary that says he helped several guys in his neighborhood who needed a place to live temporarily. I said, what does that mean? And I was so blessed by the answer. He would actually take in people that were either homeless or just down and out totally in life. Maybe they hit a hard time. He'd take them in, either in his house or he had a shed out back that just up to recently, or maybe even now, there's a husband and wife that he allowed them to live in there and then use the bathroom and whatever facilities in his house. I mean, how amazing is that? That is pretty incredible. Just helping him. And I don't know if he ever shared that with family or friends beyond. Certainly he didn't with me. And you might think, well, maybe that'd be one of the things he'd share with his pastor, right? But he didn't. That's humility there. And that reminds me of a passage I'm going to close with here in Matthew 25, when Jesus was saying to the people that when I was hungry, you fed me, and when I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink, and on that went. And their answer to Jesus was, those who knew him even, said, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or when did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? And you know what his answer was? The Lord's answer was, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you were doing it unto me. And that's what Don was doing. It's what he was doing. Just loving people. And I believe that Jesus would have said to Don, as he entered eternity on, well, 2 weeks ago today, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. And so we know We serve and we love people because God first loved us. That's what John 3:16 is all about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth, that's the key of that verse, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Because he goes on, if I would have read further, he goes on to speak about those who didn't believe and were condemned. So that it comes to us in believing, and as God works in our hearts and our lives through his word, by the Holy Spirit, through other people that we know and watch their lives. It's not something that we can earn. Good works don't earn our way to heaven. The good works are a result of our faith in Christ alone. Amen. If you'd stand with me, please, for the closing prayer, those that are able to. I'll have a prayer, and then I'll go into the Lord's Prayer from that. And we're accustomed to use the words debts and debtors when we come to that point. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we worship and praise you for your goodness. Father, thank you for the sacrifice of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And certainly that should be foremost on our minds right now as we're in this Lenten season, as we call it, as we're approaching the cross, Good Friday. We think of Jesus, all that you did for us. You who knew no sin became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ. You hung on that cross in our place, taking the wrath of God upon yourself. And we say thank you, Jesus. Thank you for hanging on that cross for Don, and that you drew him to yourself and you revealed yourself to him and he responded to you in faith. And that now we know he is with you, Lord. Jesus, you conquered sin and death and hell and the grave. And you said in your word that whoever believes in you, Jesus, that though he may die physically, yet shall he live. And again you said that whoever lives and believes in you would never die. And we know that it's just a stepping over into eternity. As we know you, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior, it's stepping into eternal life in heaven. And we can only imagine the joy that is being experienced there. And so, Father, with faith in your great mercy and in your wisdom, we do entrust Donald Clute to your eternal care. We praise you for your steadfast love for Don all the days of his earthly life. Thank you for all that he was to every one of us here who loved him so much and still do, for all that he taught us with, for the memories he left us with, for the joys, the silly things. Finally, Lord God, we thank you that for Donald Clute, death itself is now past, that he has entered heaven to spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you'll please receive the benediction. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Savior, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good, that you may do God's will, that working in you which is pleasing in God's sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is Amazing Grace. I have just a couple announcements before we start that. The words will be on the screen again. First of all, the committal service, we'll have that right as we recess out of here at the Menno Cemetery. It is muddy and soft out there. So I guess I'll leave that to your discretion. On a normal weather time, we could park 2x2 cars, but it'll have to be single file today. So if you don't care to go out there, that's fine. The family would love to have you stay in the social hall and wait for us to come back and join us for a time of lunch and fellowship. We will also have military rites out at the cemetery. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my